Hotter Than Ever is brought to you by Broad Collective, a membership network for professional women pivoting to self-employment in midlife. Maybe you've been dreaming of starting your own business, or you already work for yourself. In Broad Collective, you'll find the strategy, peer support, tools, and practical resources you need to take ownership over your career, connect with your target audience, scale your business, and grow your income doing the work you love. Creating meaningful content is the best way to get the word out about who you are and what you do. But most solopreneurs don't have a strategy for how to use social media, AI, podcasting, newsletters, self-publishing, public speaking, and all the other media channels available to us today to make the biggest possible impact. In Broad Collective, our members learn from each other and from experts how to turn their expertise into revenue and how to do it joyfully by leaning into our strengths. Whether you're an established entrepreneur or just starting out, as a Broad Collective member, you don't have to grow it alone. Go to broadcollective.com for more information and apply today. Welcome to Hotter Than Ever Advice. I'm your host, Erin Keating, and in these new weekly episodes, I give you my opinionated and not at all officially qualified feedback about the questions, problems, quandaries, and dilemmas that you have posed to me about love, sex, relationships, career, aging, ambition, divorce, kids, custody, fuck, anything else that's on your mind. This week, I received this question from someone called Hotter Than Ever. I'm 2 years out of a long marriage, and I've been officially divorced since August. When I was first separated, I was dating and sleeping with a number of guys, one of whom was a hot former Marine who I accidentally fell in love with. It started as just sex, and then 6 months in, we realized we loved each other. We had an amazing year and 3 months together, but he broke it off very abruptly 3 weeks ago. He was never going to be my forever guy, but my heart is hurting. What would you do to get over a heartbreak like this? This is the first breakup after the big breakup of my divorce, which is something I don't think we talk about enough. Signed, Hotter Than Ever. Oh, Hotter Than Ever, I have been there. Or rather, I am there. Because this advice letter is from myself to myself. Now, perhaps a little solipsistic, perhaps a little self-indulgent, but I hope that this conversation and my transparency around what is going on in my personal life will help someone out there who needs to hear this story. So, what happened? You've been talking on the podcast about how you're in love and you've got this Marine and how he's a Republican and you're not and you're making it work. And all of that is true. And it has been about 3 weeks. And here is what happened. I was at his house for the weekend, the second weekend in a row, which is rare for us. We were usually together every other weekend. And things were feeling funky, and I was feeling sad, and I brought up, in the best way that I know how in a relationship, what was going on with me. And I said, I have been feeling weird and disconnected, and the story I make up in my head, I heard this somewhere as a technique for addressing things you're feeling in your relationship, so I said, the story I make up in my head is that you're not that into me anymore. And he said, no, babe, I'm into you. And then he got really quiet and almost like sunk down into himself. And I have seen this with him before. It's basically when he's trying to figure out feelings, this is what happens. He does not have an emotional vocabulary. He is not a guy who has worked on his ability to talk about emotions, to work through problems in relationship. He is a amazing human being and a lovely man and great in so many ways. But this is a part of him that he will acknowledge is deeply, deeply unevolved. And so I saw him sinking down into himself and we went inside and I said, you know, let's just be people together. Like, let's put aside the idea of like, we're a couple, we're in a relationship, we're in love, we're defined in some way or another. And let's just talk about how we're feeling and what we want to do about it. And he said, kind of all in a burst, in a way that made me realize he has been thinking about this for a long time, and he had not been able to figure out how to say it or how to open the door to the conversation. And of course, I say everything, or I try hard to figure out how to say everything, and I open the door to the conversation that got me dumped. And what he said was, we've gotten into a routine. He didn't like that. It was feeling not that fun. He is having a hard time imagining a future for us together. He didn't like our political differences. That was not sitting well with him. And sex had gotten a little bit weird for us. Like, I wanted it all the time, and he didn't want it all the time. And because he identifies himself as this sort of archetypically masculine person, that was not sitting well with him. He had never had that before. And that was really troubling for him. This is a person who is very sexual, like I am, but does not have the ability to sort of connect the dots between feelings and sex and relationship and needs. And the way that he connects the dots is to make a decision. And he was just very black and white about it. And he was like, I think we're done. And I, of course, felt, and I will cry, I will fucking cry, I felt like I was hit by a truck, because this was so unilateral and so non-collaborative. And I get it. It's what he needed to say, and it's what he needed to do. And, you know, there's no great way to break up, but I would have loved to have it be a conversation where I had a voice and I had a say, and we were able to let it evolve over a period of time, whether that was a week or 2 weeks, where we worked through, like, this is what worked. This is what isn't working. This may be why this isn't working. And here's what we together are going to decide to do. But he's not that guy. And he doesn't operate in that way. And so while I was staying at his house for the weekend, with my ex-husband staying in my house with my kids, because they won't go to his house, which is a whole other fucking episode about custody problems, I was like, well, I have to stay here tonight. I have to stay here tonight. And I stayed over. I said, don't worry, I'll leave in the morning. And he was really trying to be a good guy in this process. He was really trying to be decent to me and to be comforting. But it was very complicated for me, because you can't get comfort from the person who's hurting you, you know? And we'd said, I love you, to each other. Even in that moment, we told each other we loved each other. My body was so confused. My body was saying, come to me, be with me. I was having the same kinds of physiological reactions that I have to him all the time, which is that I just want to touch him and be near him. It was a very physical relationship, not just sexually, but with affection and touch in a way that I had never had before. And I had to stay over. And I cried. I cried and I said a bunch of stuff, and he tried to be there for me and was there for me and held me for a while. And then I got up in the middle of the night and sat on the sofa and just was like, what the fuck? What is this? This is so awful. He probably would have liked it if I had been angry at him. He probably would have felt like he could do something more with that, or that then he could be like, well, she's mad at me. But the fact was that I was just heartbroken. And I let him see that. And I was extremely vulnerable with him. And I was like, what happens now? Like, we spend as much time as we possibly could together for over a year. And now what? We just don't talk? And he's like, I don't know. And we haven't talked. And it's been about 3 weeks, and I've wanted to reach out, and I'm not going to. Because what comfort am I going to get from him? And what good would it do? This sort of non-collaborative breakup business felt very young to me. It was just missing the sort of emotional interconnectedness that was worthy of our relationship. But it was also symbolic of what he's not capable of. And this is just how he does things. It's either a yes or a no. And for a long time, I was a big yes to him. And then I was a no. So hotter than ever, I'm going to give you some advice now that you all know the story. The first thing is to take stock. I spent a bunch of time journaling. And I thought about the good things that were in this relationship. I mean, I experienced falling in love for the first time since my husband 20 fucking years ago. What a gift. What an incredible gift to be reminded that I'm capable of love, that I'm lovable. And I got to experience someone treating me really well, being really consistent, really loving, and incredibly kind. I got a glimpse of the future of what I could have in a relationship with the right person at the right time. I saw what it was to be an adult with someone, to be in an adult relationship where we were both working hard to be our best selves with one another, where we tried really hard to be good to each other, and we succeeded in being really good to each other and being more conscious and aware of how we treated the relationship than I have ever been in a relationship, and certainly than he had ever been in a relationship. He wanted to be decent through the breakup. He just didn't have the tools to do that. We had such an incredible year together. We had so much fun. We had so many laughs. We had so many adventures. We went on a bunch of great trips. It was so hot. It was the hottest. We had compatible energy and interest in sex until we didn't. And I am just so wildly grateful for all of these parts of the relationship that worked so well. It was a very boundaried relationship. I have children. I live with them. He lives alone. When I wanted to be with him, I would come to him most of the time. And I could live a life that was free of the pain and suffering of the aftermath of the divorce. Now, it was so compartmentalized that it was starting to feel too compartmentalized. But I'll get to that in a second. I just want to say, I'm so grateful for what this was. And I'm so grateful that I allowed this into my life, that when I started to feel feelings, I didn't push it away, that I received him so openly and so willingly for everything that he was bringing into my life. I'm just so grateful. And now is the part where I also say, let me tell the truth. The advice I would give to anyone else is take stock of the good things and also tell the truth about the stuff that was there that you didn't quite acknowledge to yourself. I really believe that rejection is God's protection. And in this situation, God decided, we're done. Now, the Marine decided we're done. But in the scheme of life and love and my life experience, things seem to be happening very profoundly and very clearly as symbols of chapters opening and closing. And the Band-Aid just got ripped right off when he was like, yeah, I think we're done, babe. And while that's incredibly painful right now, I have to be honest and say that I was bending and shrinking to make him comfortable, to fit into his life. And I want to live much bigger than that. I want to live more out loud. I want to let my mess show. I'd showed up very tidy for him. And partially because I was worried that if I showed up messy, I would be rejected. And gradually I did come to show up messy with him in various ways. And he was always receptive and loving and kind. And he always had a shoulder for me to cry on. He was the first man that I was ever with who could handle it when I was having big feelings and didn't make it about himself. And I'm super grateful for that. But I would have allowed myself to bend and contort myself and shrink to fit into the box that he needed me to be in until I was absolutely miserable, because that is what I do in relationships. And this abrupt ending, I feel like, was a sign from the universe that I was not to do that again, and that somehow I was being protected from not having my own back. Even if I love someone and I'm super crazy about them, I am wired to adapt myself and to change parts of myself in order to stay loved. And I don't want that. I don't want to live like that. I was starting to feel like I wanted things to be looser and less compartmentalized, and he was not going to be willing or able to give me that. And while I wanted to beat the odds around our politics and our other differences, truth be told, there was just a lot that I was not saying because I knew that there wasn't a conversation where we could find common ground on certain things. We did find a lot of common ground, and I was really grateful for that and for the work that we did to get there and the conversations that we had to get there. At the end of the day, that does not make a synthesis of ideas on any fundamental level, but thank God neither of us are in politics, and it doesn't really fucking matter what we think. At the end of the day, we are not enacting these policies for the rest of the world to live into. I did want to beat the odds, and we didn't. We didn't, but it wasn't just because of the politics. It was because of life and circumstances. There were also little flags here and there since last fall where I would open up a conversation about something that was on my mind. I would have worked on it and how to frame it and how to talk about it with my therapist. I come in with a plan. I mean, I really wanted to speak my truth in this relationship. I really wanted to be able to not leave things unsaid. I would say things and he would say, "Yes, I hear you." And then he would not know how to respond or not want to hurt me or not know how to engage in a conversation. And he would just leave it there on the table, unaddressed and unresolved. And if I wanted to talk about it more, or I wanted to get into the conversation and try to get some resolution for myself, I had to bring it up again, which made me feel like a nag. And no woman wants to feel like a nag with the man that they're in love with. It's a terrible feeling. I did not want to be that with him. I wanted to be the opposite of what my marriage was. So I sat with a lot of things just sort of sitting out there in the ether that were my needs, that were my concerns. And those would have piled up over time, and they were starting to for me. So rejection is God's protection. And truth be told, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows and big giant orgasms in our relationship, although it was often sunshine and rainbows and big giant orgasms in our relationship, but it wasn't all that. And the cracks were starting to show. And I was feeling them, but I so badly did not want to feel them. I so badly wanted this and actually really needed it as a respite from the rest of my life. And that was not fair of me to put the responsibility on him for being the solution to all of the challenges and difficulties that exist in my life today in the aftermath of my divorce from my 20-year relationship, my 17-year marriage. That was wearing on him. And that makes sense. Another thing that was wearing on him was the fact that in order for my husband to be with our children, because they won't go to his house, they had to be in our house and I had to vacate so that my ex-husband could stay here with the kids. And so I would go to the Marines. But boy, did that lock him into my custody schedule. Boy, did that remove spontaneity and flexibility from our relationship. Boy, did that put a lot of responsibility and burden onto what we were doing together. Fuck, that wasn't fair. And I didn't realize that until the breakup conversation was happening. I wish he could have told me. He probably felt it and didn't even know how to say it. So hotter than ever, or me, or whatever in this conceit of this episode. The other thing I would say is consider how you got there. Intentions are powerful, and a lack of intentions gets you unpredictable results. Now, life gets you unpredictable results, but having intentions gets you closer to what it is that you want. And letting life just happen to you is life just happening to you? And that's what happened. I didn't go looking for a relationship. I would not have looked for a relationship. We fell into a relationship, and this is both good and bad. Clearly, there were so many things that I needed to get out of this relationship and that were gifted to me. It felt amazing to feel crazy about someone. It felt amazing to know that I was loved, that I was desired, that someone thought I was fucking hilarious. We had a great time together. I needed to have a great time in the aftermath of my yucky marriage and divorce. I learned to make a great bolognese sauce. It takes like 5 hours, so I probably might never make it again. But I did learn that. And this relationship helped get me through this first year after my divorce. And it showed me pieces of a model of what I want in the next one, in the next relationship that I go into with clear intentions. When I am ready to go out into the world and look for a new partner, a new person, the next chapter partner for my life. I am nowhere near ready for that, if I am honest. I am nowhere near ready for that. And so the next piece of advice that I would give myself is to consider where you are now and really be there. Not ready for a relationship, and I'm going to pull that energy back into myself and continue to focus on me and reinventing my life. I'm going to double down on time with my kids. They just turned 13. They are not going to be interested in me in a year or two. This is the end of the childhood window and the beginning of the teen window. And I'm going to take a bunch of trips with them and spend time with them in a way that I was less present for because I was so present for this love relationship. I'm not saying I wasn't showing up as a parent. I was, and I am. But I was really head in the clouds, head over heels over this wonderful guy. And when now I am sort of grounded back into single motherhood, and maybe now I'm more equipped to really acknowledge the truth of, fuck, I'm a single mom. And this is my life. And this is what it's going to be until my kids go to college. And things will change over time, and things will evolve, and things will loosen up. But it's a lot of duty. It's a lot of responsibility, and it's on me. You know, I have an ex-husband who does some co-parenting. I'm grateful for what he can do. It's always been on me, and I will continue to own the responsibility for the day-to-day lives of my kids, and that's okay. I am also getting up to my old tricks. I'll say I am wasting no time lying around feeling sad. I feel sad, but in between feeling sad, I am back on the apps. I have my profiles back up. I am flirting like a maniac. I did look up an old lover and did that thing of getting under someone to get over someone. You know what? It really helped. It really helped. I was so grateful for him. And I want to look at the state of my life, look at the state of my friendships, look at the state of my community, such as it is and such as it isn't, and decide where my time should be allocated. I'm feeling a burst of creativity around my work, around the podcast, and some other creative projects connected to the podcast. I'm thrilled about it, and hopefully you will be too. I am feeling a lot of fuck it. I am feeling a lot of like, this is my fucking life and I'm not living it for anybody but myself. That is amazing. And that is where I am today. I would tell Hotter Than Ever to look for what the good things are. You're single and free. You can resume your wild ways. I certainly have some trouble left to get into, and I will share it with you as appropriate. I don't have to worry about some guy and what he thinks and what his role is in my life. I don't have to worry about how I over-accommodate men. I don't have to accommodate anybody except me and my kids. And I also do not have to get through the 2024 election with someone who does not share my politics. I feel free to own my feminism. I feel free to own my anger and resistance. I feel free to own my empowerment. I did in this relationship, but because I have the tendency to overfocus on my partner, because that's how I was raised to get by in the world with men. I don't have to do that today. I don't have to do that today. I can find boys to play with. I can find men to play with. I can sow my wild oats and have more adventures. I am not done with that chapter of my life. I am not ready to settle down with anyone. I am ready to dig in to what this next chapter is going to look like for me after the breakup, after the breakup. A friend of mine said to me, they don't ever talk about what it feels like when the relationship after your big relationship ends. Well, I'm talking about it. I am talking about it, and I am so grateful to the Marine for the time we had together, and I am so grateful to myself for allowing myself to feel all the feelings that I had bottled up and shoved down through the course of a marriage that was unraveling for a very long time. So that's my advice to you / me, hotter than ever. Onward and upward. Thanks for listening to Hotter Than Ever Advice. How can you ask a question? I'm so glad you asked. Why don't you DM us at Hotter Than Ever Pod on Instagram, or leave us a voicemail, or text the Hotter Than Ever Hottie hotline at 323-844-2303. That's 323-844-2303. You can text it. You can leave a voicemail. I would love to answer questions to someone who is not me on the next episode. Hotter Than Ever is produced by Erica Gerard and Podkit Productions. Our associate producer is Melody Carey. Music is by Chris Keating, with vocals by Issa Fernandez. Now you try giving yourself some advice. I think you'd be really good at it.